And joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon are members of the Tea Sippers Theater Company, Andrew Vincent, Caitlin Romero, and Brandy Champagne, here to talk about their latest production, Thornton Wilder's The Skin of Our Teeth. And a couple of them are in the midst of exams right now, so it's kind of a nice little break right now, I know, to just sit and talk about something you love, which is theater. And I know you all love it very much because at least two of you started the Tea Sippers. Brandy, were you involved in the beginning of it?
Not the very beginning.
Not the very beginning, but you've been in for a while.
Yeah, I'd say so.
But Caitlin and Andrew, you all are founding members of the Tea Sippers.
Yes, ma'am.
And that occurred your freshman year in high school?
2010.
Mm-hmm. 2010. So you've been working on this extracurricular theater program outside of other theater that you do in school. And so you really do love theater. And the Tea Sippers has been very successful. You've put on at least a couple productions a year, if not more, over the past 4 years. Is it 4 years?
It'll be four years.
4 years this coming spring.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't choose easy plays.
No.
Nor do you choose the same kind of play.
No, we're very versatile.
You're very, very versatile. And I think people appreciate that about your organization. The Skin of Our Teeth, why did you choose that play? What attracted you to it?
It was actually the first play that I ever did and the first play that I ever read. And it's always been my favorite, so I decided that I wanted to tackle that recently.
All right, so you really spearheaded the choice of the Skin of Our Teeth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is Brandy's first show directing completely. Brandy's been with us since we did a production
called Wanda June in 2011.
And Brandy wasn't originally a part of the group that started, but she's been with us for about 3 years now. So it's Brandy's favorite, and she said, I want to direct a show. And so for about a year now, we've been kind of trying to figure out what it is that she wanted to do. And that was the show that was, you know, she was drawn to. So we've been working on it for the past, 3 months now?
Yeah.
And I don't know. She really loves it. That's her project.
So. Right, so this is your first time directing a Tea Sippers production.
I've helped direct, but this is the first time actually like directing it myself, or not completely myself, but more so than before.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us what you liked about this play when you first read it. You said it was your favorite play. You loved it.
I liked the meaning of it because it's obviously not supposed to be a literal play at all because of how like crazy it is. So I like the background meaning of it, and I like the characters a lot because most of them are extremely difficult. I wouldn't say difficult to play, but they're really, 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 really
complex.
Yeah, complex. They're not like flat at all. So I like that. I like that it's a challenge.
And what else about, I mean, there were some people listening who may not know much about Thornton Wilder and the effect his plays have on people. He also did Our Town.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So describe the effect, the emotional effect the play had on you.
Well, the lead characters are really easy to fall in love with, I guess. Like, they're easy to relate to because they have a character pretty much for everyone. Like, they have someone who isn't necessarily dedicated but wants to do something. And they have someone who is extremely dedicated, and they have people who are, like, scared or, you know, it's just the emotions are really easy to relate to, and the characters themselves are easy to relate to. And it has a lot of life, like, real life situations that are made into absurd situations. So it gives a mixture of emotions. I don't know. It's hard to explain.
Well, tell us who the characters are in the play.
Well, we have, I'd say, five or six leads. We have Mr. and Mrs. Antrobus, who are the parents, and they also represent Adam and Eve of the Bible. And then we have Sabina, who is their maid, who represents Satan and like a temptress. And then they have the two children, Henry and Gladys. And Henry represents Cain from the Bible. And Gladys doesn't represent anyone from the Bible, but she's the daughter.
Who they think is perfect in every way.
Yeah, pretty much. So. Those are the lead characters, and mm-hmm. then they have characters like a fortune teller, and they have a stage manager, and they have a bunch of like refugees and conveners, and they have four characters that represent different times on the clock, and they also represent different verses from history and from really like strong historical literature. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm.
and like Brandy said, they're all super relatable. Each has a different trait that every person can sort of relate to, and so going into it, you find yourself finding different parts of the character. They're, like she said, they're so complex, and so you're going to find different parts of them that you say, oh, Henry's really mischievous, I really relate to that, or Gladys feels this need to be perfect, and I relate to that. And it's just really easy to fall in love with the characters, and they're so complex. I feel like most of them go through these intense mood swings where they just go from polar opposites. They just switch around, and it's really incredible to watch.
You also kind of watch the characters grow throughout the show, which is interesting to see. I mean, in a sense, you literally do watch the kids grow throughout the show, but you also watch the parents grow, and you also watch the maid grow.
So does the play take place over a number of years?
Yes, it takes
place over several hundred years. It's very unclear when you're watching it at what point in time it's supposed to be, but you really see the characters grow as the play progresses.
Well, it's a play within a play, so in a sense, yes and no. The play within the play itself goes on forever, basically.
It's kind of an allegory and sort of an everyman play where you can really see these archetypal characters throughout history.
Well, when the show opens, like Brandy said, it's they're real people in these strange situations, and being a little bit more clear, the show takes place in modern times. However, the Ice Age is coming, and it's about to destroy everyone in its path, while the husband, Mr. Antipas, is creating the alphabet and the multiplication table and inventing the wheel all in one day. And there's reference that he and his wife have been married for 5,000 years, which is in a sense, all of the things prior to that could be something that could actually happen. But 5,000 years, that doesn't make sense. And it is a metaphor at the same time for how long they have been together. Act two, they're on a boardwalk, and the flood is coming, and it's the ark, it's Noah and the ark, and they have to save one another, and the whole show is about family, and it's about love, and it's about survival, and about how through time things change, but they stay the same all throughout all of time. So basically, we follow this family through these different giant, I guess, highlighted portions of history and the Bible. And we see that even though they go through the Ice Age and the flood and then war, they stay together no matter how much they change.
Human relationships don't change.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then like at the end, there's a line that says, you go home, the end of this play isn't written, it goes on for ages and ages yet. So it just shows that pretty much what he said, history repeats itself and it'll never end. So,
well, what characters do you play, Caitlin?
I play Mrs. Antipas.
Okay. And Andrew?
I play Mr. Antipas.
So you are the couple that's been married for 5,000 years.
Yes.
What did you all do to prepare for this very weighty role?
Well, Caitlin and I, when we started, the first show we did, we played husband and wife. Or we played a couple in 70 Scenes of Halloween. So Caitlin and I, we've played husband and wife or couples many times before. But these roles individually, Mr. Antipas in particular, he's vague. He has a very vague disposition. He's dumb, but he's supposed to represent a stereotype of an everyday man. He takes care of the home and he provides for the family. But all of his heart is there, but in some places in the wrong ways. He'll say things that are offensive, or he'll do things that are not quite right, and you can tell that his character's a little off.
In context of the story, Mrs. Antipas and Mr. Antipas sort of seem – they represent foils of one another. Mr. Antipas is wholly interested in coming up with a reason for the humans to survive. He wants to create the alphabet, which gives us meaning. And Mrs. Antipas wants to just keep the family going. She's not so much interested that we have something to live for, but she's interested in the fact that we have a family and we have to keep them living.
So different focus on what makes a family and what it means to hang on by the skin of your teeth. Very different.
Exactly. And to answer your question, which we didn't, to prepare for it, we mostly prepare through rehearsal process, you know, whether it be character development, things like that. In rehearsals, we do a lot of character development where we all question ourselves as the actors playing the characters, you know, what is going on here? What are we doing? And so for that, Caitlin and I did a lot of that, playing husband and wife when, you know, I'm only 18 and we're both 18 now. You know, it can be difficult to grasp that, but as long as the love is there, as long as they can believe, as people can believe that the love is there, it's very much believable. And the fact that they've been together for such a long time, it gives room for, I guess different emotions. You know, you can see different portions of their relationship. They've been together for so long, just like Caitlin and I have. You know, you can see that one's getting tired of the other, or that even though Mr. Antropus has said something, she's not going to say anything about it because that's the way he is.
And going into this and going into most plays, the director generally has a sort of outline of what their idea of the character is like. And Brandy came into this and presents us with her ideas, and Andrew and I grow upon what she believes, because whatever Brandy gives us isn't what exactly we're going to portray through the rehearsal process.
Well, I like the way you say grow upon it, you know, that Brandy presents an idea and then you grow around it. And I know people, again, are struck by just how mature you all are as a theater company. And I do need to remind people, my guests are the Tea Sippers. Two of them are still in high school, seniors in high school. Andrew Vincent graduated last year, and Caitlin Romero and Brandy Champagne are seniors at Lafayette High. The Tea Sippers began when, I guess, you were a freshman, Caitlin, at Lafayette High. And it's remarkable to hear you talk about your process, and I always enjoy asking you about it because it's very well thought out. You never give a blank look or just kind of say, oh, well, that's just how we do it. It's extremely thoughtful, and you all do have a process, and I'm always amazed, and it gives me incredible hope for the continuance of the theater community that we have here. So tell us a bit about what your ideas were. What did you present to the Antrobuses as their characters?
Well, I like to play up the idea that Mr. Antrobus is not extremely intelligent. I mean, he's intelligent, but he doesn't have any common sense whatsoever. And he is actually the president of Atlantic City within the play. And there's a large section where you realize that the real president here is Mrs. Antrobus, but he's just a figurehead. And I like to play up that within their characters throughout the entire show, because that's how their entire relationship is. She obviously makes all the decisions, and he obviously gets all the credit. So I like to play it like that. And I wanted her to be more fake and positive, but not always happy, and obviously not always happy. So it's really complex. It's complex.
Yes, I was going to say that. Those are – how did you grow upon that, Caitlin, those instructions?
Well, I try to do as Brandy asks and make the decisions, but it's difficult to explain this. How does one wear the pants in the family?
Well, I think – this character, the show was written. The show wasn't written in 1942, but it appeared first on Broadway in 1942. It's a very old show, but just like history repeats itself in the show, history repeats itself in real life. And often, women hold the family together. They hold family together. A man, and this is a stereotype, and this is not how it is today anymore most of the time, but it used to be the man would go out and work, and the woman would stay home and cook. And the man would provide the money, but the support at home for the children would be the mother. And so I think with – for myself, with what Brandy has given me, is that I have to portray that. I have to portray you know, a man who does work very hard when he's working, and he comes home and he just expects. And I have a line when I come in and I say, "I'll be scarred and tarred if a man can't get a little welcome when he comes home." He expects the love and compassion while Caitlin earns it while she's at home working, you know. So it's a natural process to go through it, but at the same time, it is given.
Well, what sort of a challenge has that presented to you all? Because I'm glad you said that about the date. I was going to ask you about when the play was written. So it was mm-hmm. probably written in the 30s, if
right.
not before.
In the late 30s, yeah.
In the late 30s, when I guess social mores were quite different. So you're coming to this play, which obviously is a classic play and has endured and still affects people very, very deeply, even young people like yourselves, but with mores that are quite different.
Yeah.
Even though he was trying for something universal, he was still using how people lived at that time. Yeah. How have you dealt with that, that challenge of you're dealing with relationships that don't exist exactly in the same way.
A part of when he was writing it, and a part of his vision and idea of theater altogether, which changed everything for everyone, for especially our town, which is a little bit more popular than The Skin of Our Teeth, but was that whether he believed what he was writing or not, he was taking the stereotype and making it a lot larger than what life actually is, and that's I guess for us and for me that's what theater is, you know, whether you agree with it or not, to portray that and to relay that to an audience is what the importance is. I think the process has been difficult, just like everyone, because you know you have to make yourself believe it before anybody else can believe you. And I don't agree with hardly anything that I do on stage. You know, he's a very angry, violent man. You know, he hits his children. He cheats on his wife. You know, all these things that people do, they make mistakes, but it's different. And I guess they are so complex because they're so real. You know, these aren't characters like, I don't know.
They're not just blanket stereotypes. They don't just have one facet to them. They're multifaceted.
Well, and as you mentioned, the part of the play is that they have been living these lives for so many, many, many years, and that this is not just one tragic occurrence one day, you roll with it. Mm-hmm. You know that things continue, you know, millennium after millennium, and that the human race is not going to disappear. Your family won't disappear despite his moral failings or your difficulty with the children, or that it doesn't come to an end. But anyway, I just find that interesting. Again, I don't mean to come back to your youth, but that you are dealing with a play that is dealing with some complex issues and put into the structure of a very traditional family life.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that does – one of the things that must help you all is that you are, in essence, a repertory company, and you've been working together for so long, as you mentioned, that you and Caitlin have played some of these roles before, and that you all have discussed many of these ideas over time throughout plays. And so you're not coming to this cold, really.
Right. I mean – something that we've always gotten from many people in the community, people out of the community, people within our own group, is that you're too young. What do you know about theater? I've heard people say, why are those children trying to tackle shows that are far beyond their level of understanding? They have no idea what they're doing. Not that these people come see our shows and have any idea, but it's things like that. And then we do go out into the community because we support local theater as much, you know, as much as we possibly can and afford. And we do that. And we've seen shows where there are 80-year-old, you know, people in these shows, and we look at it and I'm thinking, did I really pay $10 to see this? The age has always been something that we've tried to make sure that it never held us back.
Yes, and I only mean to point it out
no,
because I'm so astonished each time at how articulate you all are about the play you're doing and what you all are doing with the Tea Sippers Theater Company. I mean, it's marvelous, and it's a delight to hear young people speak so maturely about theater and characters and playwrights such as you are doing. We are talking about Thornton Wilder's The Skin of Our Teeth, which you all will open the day after New Year's on January 2nd. So a way to ring in the new year with this play about human nature and human relationships. So are you all going to be – I mean – you're going to be ready. This is a pretty complex play. You're in exams right now. It's Christmas coming up.
We've always dealt with things on top of things. We've always been under time constraints, but it always comes together, and it comes together very well. And we've had an excess amount of time to prepare for the show, and not to say that it didn't need that, because it's a giant show and we definitely needed it. But I think that we're going to be ready.
It's also come – it's really far along in the process, like further than previous shows. I feel like we're more comfortable with it this time around.
Who are your other actors in the show, Brandy?
We have quite a lot.
We have Austin Boudreau, who is playing Henry. We have Brittany Harrison, who's playing Gladys Antrobus.
Lindsay Unruh is playing the fortune teller and multiple other roles. And Joey Mills is playing the stage manager and multiple other roles.
Caroline
Munsell is playing our lead, Sabina. And
we have a few other members in the company. We have Taylor Verrett,
Trey Leger,
Spencer Hudson,
Monique Jumonville.
So the Antrobuses are the core of this play, but it sounds like there's this veritable carnival of other people surrounding them that come into their lives.
Absolutely.
Kind of like some medieval play or something where you've just got this.
Another back element is that the family, like Caitlin said, Mrs. Antrobus just wants the family to be okay. Mm-hmm. Mr. Antrobus wants to make sure that everyone in the world is okay. It has to be expressed. In Act mm-hmm. 1, there are refugees who come to take shelter in the home. In Act 2, there are people on the boardwalk who are there to work and to live, but their life ends from the flood. And then, you know, Act 3, we kind of unlatch the door, and the play within the play kind of comes unraveled because some of the actors get sick and things. So we see the rest of the company kind of come out as the actors, and that's once again, that's also, you know, another metaphor of it all falling apart.
Also, from how we've described it, it sounds like it's not a very happy play, but it actually is. It's extremely funny. It has a lot of comedy in it as well as serious matters. But I think most of the time he makes light of a lot of the situations in it.
Well, the great human comedy, the way a lot of writers have approached that. Great big romp through human history. Yeah. Well, and it sounds like there are two opposing impulses here, that desire for the nuclear family, to protect the nuclear family, and as you said, to save the whole world, to have that responsibility to creating a better world. And those are difficult impulses to bring together sometimes, especially if you have two strong-willed people in the same family. So how's your experience being a director? Have you enjoyed it?
Yeah, I have. It's a lot easier than I thought it would be. I was definitely really nervous about it, but it's been better than I was expecting and hoping, and I enjoy it a lot. I do. I like directing a lot. I mean, I still love being in shows, but I enjoy directing too.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm sure you have a lot of help around you if you need to call on,
on
people. A very close-knit theater group. So the play opens on the 2nd, and where will it be performed?
Theater 810. Yes.
And we do need to remind people, as always, that's a small venue and people really should get their tickets. And I know it's Christmas and New Year's, but you can reserve your tickets now, can't you? And
yeah, absolutely. You can call their phone number, which is, I believe, 298-11.
No, I'm making something up. That's not even close.
But you can reserve it if you go to the theater, or you can call Theater 810's number. You can find it online, and then we have Facebook events page, a Facebook event page, or you could buy them at the door. We were really surprised during Romeo and Juliet in August. There were two nights where we were completely sold out, and we had people standing in the audience, and the show was almost 3 hours long.
We had to turn away people too.
Which was really a great feeling, but definitely reserve your tickets ahead of time to get a chance to see the show.
So there's only four performances.
Yeah. Four.
2nd through the 5th at Theater 810. If you are just tuning in, my guests are members of the Tea Sippers Theater Company, Brandy Champagne, Caitlin Romero, and Andrew Vincent. Brandy is directing Thornton Wilder's The Skin of Our Teeth, and Caitlin and Andrew play the Antrobuses in this very classic American play. A great opportunity to see it. If you haven't, I'm sure there are a lot of teachers out there who would like to assign their students to go and see this play, but for anyone who loves American theater, this is a great opportunity to see it. The Tea Sippers, we hope to have you back in the spring to learn about what you're going to be doing later in the springtime. If people want to know more about you, I think you do have a Facebook page.
Absolutely.
Tea Sippers Theater Company. January 2nd, it opens, so call Theater 810 or go to their – I don't have a website. You need to call them or stop
by. It's an Eventbrite site.
An Eventbrite. Mm-hmm. Okay, you can check out the Eventbrite site. Well, thank you all very much. We appreciate it, and good luck with your exams and the play.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.